gamblers and gamblers. Josh Rosenthal here. Thanks for rating, subscribing, reviewing IG at Rambling and Gambling, and the old email, ramblingandgamblingpodcast@gmail.com. It is an absolute pleasure to be with you for the second time this week. We put out part one Wednesday morning, as I explained in the intro for that one. I just gotten a great Open Championship interview done with Rick Gaiman, and then almost immediately afterwards, I got a call about severe weather here in the DC region. So I put on my news hat. Our guy, Raheem Palmer of The Ringer, was nice enough to postpone his interview until today, Thursday. And ladies and gents, I think this one is worth the wait. Ron and I are talking NBA odds and ends, summer league, free agency, trades, also bringing back a couple of segments we haven't done in a little while. I have a Rostradamus returns. We'll be talking both NBA and NFL futures with that one. We're doing a cash or trash. Then we're also talking about Jake Paul's next fight and odds for the 2024 presidential election. So there you have it. Let's get things started with Raheem Palm. Raheem, thanks for rescheduling, bro.
Nah, it's all good, man. Things happen. So, I mean, you just got to be flexible. So it's all good.
Well, I appreciate you being so flexible. I got to tell you, I feel like you're kind of living your best life right now. We're in between NBA and NFL. So maybe a little bit more time to yourself than usual. I've seen these videos you're posting on IG, pumping all kinds of iron in the gym. And if I'm not mistaken, would you just have a big five-figure summer league win here recently?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I play a lot of live summer league stuff, and I mean, because a lot of it is you're looking at some of the lineups. I mean, a lot of the lineups are coming out late. You'll find out about a lineup 5 minutes before the game, and then you'll see like, all right, this team, they're just not scoring well, so I'll take a live under. You'll have games to where like one team is just totally outmatched. You have certain teams who are not even really trying. Like, you look at a team like the Sixers right now, they're not even playing their main guys anymore. Like, Isaiah Joe was playing to start a summer league. Ari was playing to start a summer league. They're not playing any of those guys now. So there's edges just looking at the lineups, and, you know, I've done pretty well for myself.
I've really enjoyed summer league. I always really enjoy summer league, but I feel like especially early in this Vegas run, the games are really good. It's been great seeing these top picks. Here's my first question for you. Have you seen anything to suggest to you that Paolo should not have gone number one, that the Magic blew it? Or do you think they made the right call here?
I think they made the right call. I think you got the best offensive player in the draft. And I mean, I've been saying this before, like so many different places, but this is a wings league. This is a league where if you have a solid wing who can score, who can, you know, make plays, then, I mean, the sky's the limit for you. And I think they have the best one in the draft. I think Chet, I mean, he showed a lot of potential in that first game. But then I think you saw as time goes on, he's still a little thin. He doesn't have an NBA body yet. I think for what Orlando was trying to do with the pieces around him, I mean, I think they could be a fringe playoff team. And I think right now, Paolo was the guy.
I'm surprised to hear you say fringe playoff team for Orlando.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why I say that is because you actually have the play-in tournament now. And I think that's the game changer. I mean, obviously Adam Silver came out and said that the play-in tournament is going to be permanent. But I mean, you look at some of the guys on this roster. I mean, like, you got a lot of talent. I mean, you're going to have Jonathan Isaac coming back. You got Mo Wagner, you got Wendell Carter. You got some guys on this team. And obviously I think the guards may be a little bit weak. Cole Anthony and Jalen Suggs, but I think they can push for that play-in tournament. I mean, right now. I mean, what were they last year? They're 22-60. I think they were 15th in the Eastern Conference. I think, I mean, 10 more wins is not out of the question. And that's like a fringe play-in tournament team.
I like their pieces. I said it mm-hmm. that way just because they're young. So that's why I'd be surprised mm-hmm. to see them making it to the playoffs this year. But you never know. They do have a lot of talent. Speaking of talent, I really liked watching Jonathan Kuminga so far this summer league. I think he's looked really good. Of course, he showed flashes last season with the Warriors. Of course, his athleticism is just absolutely off the charts. If he were in this past year's draft, Paolo, Chet, Jabari, as opposed to the 2021 draft, where he went number 7 overall. Where do you think he would have been picked? Because I think if he were in this year's draft, knowing what we know now, I think he would have gone higher than 7.
I think he might have gone higher than 7, but I don't think he goes over the top 3 guys. I think a big part of it is that he really did himself no favors in terms of bypassing college and playing on the G League in 19. Now, I think that's good for the players themselves, allowing them to get paid, not having to go to classes, not having to live like almost a double life between being a student and a student athlete. It doesn't really help their brands out. And I think being in the NCAA tournament, it really helps a lot of these guys out because you're just seeing these guys on the biggest stage. So I still think Paolo, Jabari, and Chet would have gone 1, 2, and 3. But, I mean, it's easy to see that he has all the talent. So, I mean, but you look at, I mean, Keegan Murray has been playing tremendous. And I think he's, you know, a lot older. Obviously, he was in Iowa, played an NCAA tournament, and he's able to raise his stock. So he went to a team like the Kings who are looking to make a playoff push. You look at Jonathan Kuminga, he's still kind of raw. I mean, he has the athleticism. I mean, he's good at drawing fouls, playmaking, defensive instincts, but – I mean, like he still has to work on his turnovers. He still has to work on his shooting. So I think that might have kept him a little bit lower than, you know, the top 3 guys.
Any summer leaguers disappoint you so far?
I can't really say anybody disappointed me, honestly, because it's just like I think when you look at the summer league, it's tough to – you don't really want to judge a lot of these guys. I mean, when you look at the history of the summer league award, I mean, like the summer league MVP award, it's typically – It's not the number one picks and the lottery picks who are winning this award. I mean, it's guys like Ian Clark, it's guys like Jonathan Simmons, Jerrion Grant, KJ McDaniels, Brandon Clark. Those are the guys who kind of, you know, really crush summer league because they kind of have to. But you know, the top guys, you know, they have all the chances in the world when the season starts.
I'm just glad you didn't give me Johnny Davis for that one. I'm not ready to go there yet. Stay away from my guy. I was thinking that it seemed like off-season wise things had really slowed down, right? We had the Murray to Atlanta trade, we had the Gobert to Minnesota trade, but not much since. And then we're recording this, it's a little after 3 o'clock Thursday afternoon. Woj bomb like 2 minutes before we come on the air. DeAndre Ayton, it appears as though, has signed a 4-year, $133 million max offer sheet with the Indiana Pacers. He's a restricted free agent, so the Suns still have 48 hours to match. What do you make of this, Rob? Because in part, I mean, I want to lead this into a broader discussion about the other big names, of course, including KD. And it seems like if KD is going to get what has been reported to be his number one team, target team, the Suns, I would have to think that Ayton is going to have to be involved in some sort of sign-in trade or something. What do you make of this news?
I mean, I expected this to come. I mean, obviously, the KD trade news kind of just, I mean, it threw everything off. It just felt like the Suns, I mean, their relationship with Ayton, it kind of fell apart. I mean, like during the playoffs. And then, you know, it's kind of disappointing just because, I mean, I imagine for the Suns, I mean, for Ayton, they could have offered him this extension, you know, earlier on in the season, got this thing over with. And now they're just, you know, in a tight spot where they're going to have to match this map. This offer, I just think it's tough right now. I mean, we'll see what happens. Brooklyn doesn't really even want 8. So I think that's the thing that's really holding things up in terms of the KD trade. And then I think the Rudy Gobert trade really, really messed up the market for KD. I mean, they gave up so much for Rudy Gobert that you look at Kevin Durant. He needs the Kings ransom. So we'll see what happens. I expect Phoenix to match. But I don't expect Ayton, you know, to necessarily stay here.
Okay, that leads me into my next one. You've got KD out there. You've got Ayton out there. Kyrie, Donovan Mitchell, of course. The Donovan Mitchell one, it seems like it's got a lot of momentum towards the Knicks. That could be done by the time this actually this podcast is published. Those four guys, if you had to guess right now, where do you think each of them is playing next season? KD, Donovan Mitchell, Ayton, and Kyrie.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think there's a part of me that thinks the KD and Kyrie trade isn't going to happen.
Just that's what I think. That's what I think too.
I just think that the Rudy Gobert trade has really messed up the market. I don't think they're going to find the pieces to really get back for KD what they're really looking for. And it, to me, it just makes more sense to bring it back. You got a solid team. I know you got swept out of the playoffs, but you lost those four games by like a combined 18 points. So you bring back KD, you bring back Kyrie. You still got Ben Simmons. You just brought TJ Warren in. You got Seth Curry. You got Joe Harris. You got a team that's good enough to challenge for the Eastern Conference. So I could just see them running this thing back. And, you know, this kind of be like the last dance for Brooklyn before we really figure out what happens.
Well, and we've seen similar situations before, right? Super, like Kobe, for instance. We all thought Kobe was going to be a Chicago Bull for an offseason. He requested a trade, and then, of course, he comes back to the Lakers, and the rest is history. I'm with you. I think that's what we end up seeing with KD, too, although who knows? It's the NBA offseasons get crazier and crazier. Here's another guy who's been in a lot of these trade talks recently, and it was just something that crossed my mind. I just think it's interesting to think about. This is the last year of Russell Westbrook's deal. Obviously, right now, pretty much nobody wants him, including the Lakers, on the salary that he is making now. But I'm very curious, once this current contract expires, where does Russ go? How much is he getting paid? What type of role does he have? I don't see him fitting in with many of the good teams right now, unless he wants to be somebody's sixth man, which it doesn't seem like Russ would be interested in. Do you have any early predictions for where Russ ends up once he presumably hits free agency?
Oh, this is tough. This is really, really tough. I honestly, I can't think of anywhere where he would be a good fit. It would have to be a place like Charlotte or something like that, or but even then, it's just, I mean, you got LaMelo Ball, and you don't want to take the ball out of his hands. So I guess maybe a team that's just looking to rebuild next year. It's tough. It's really tough to find a place for him right now.
That's going to be an interesting one to watch. Should we do the two segments that we haven't done in a while here? You have anything else you want to hit before we get into those?
Yeah. We can move on.
All right. First up, haven't done this in, I don't know, it's been months, I guess, because I don't think we've done it the past couple times you were on. It is time for Rostradamus Returns. Real simple. You, Rostradamus, are going to look into your crystal ball, and you are going to tell us the future. You've got three NBA futures and also three NFL futures. And here's what I'm thinking. Why don't we do it like this? I'll read off, you were nice enough to send me these ahead of time. I'll read off your three NBA futures first, then you can cover them however you see fit, and then we'll go and do the same thing with the NFL futures. You like that format?
Yeah, I like that. Let's do that.
All right, here we go. Rostradamus, first, the three NBA futures. Number one, Anthony Edwards, most improved player, 12-1. Number two, Paolo, rookie of the year, +360. And the third and final NBA future from Rostradamus is the Clippers, 7-1 to win it all. Take it away, Rostradamus.
Okay, when it comes to, the most improved player, I mean, look, there's a history for this award. And I think it's changed over the last 10 to 15 years. When you look at most improved player over the last 10 to 15 years, it's basically become an award in which a player goes from being a good player into an all-star. So you look at last year, Ja Morant, first all-star team. Before that, Julius Randle, first all-star team. Before that, Brandon Ingram, first all-star team. Pascal Siakam, first all-star team. Victor Oladipo, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Out of the last 11 years, the only two guys did not make their all-star team in a year where they won most improved player was CJ McCollum in 2015-16 and Goran Dragic in 2013-2014. So you're looking at a guy in Anthony Edwards who averaged 21 points per game last year in the regular season. In the playoffs, he averaged 25 points per game. Now, I think his playoff performances can translate to this year's regular season, I think that will get him enough to be an all-star. But also, when you look at the fact that the Minnesota Timberwolves, they traded for Rudy Gobert. So I'm expecting them to be almost a 50-win team, maybe even better. I think they're going to be a lot of people, you know, paying the trade. But I think this makes them a better regular season team. And if they're getting the wins, Anthony Edwards is averaging 25 points per game, you're looking at the most improved player. So that's the first one that I like. Paolo, I mean, I think everybody sees him in summer league. Like I said earlier, I think he's the best offensive player in this draft. He's shown his ability to score, but he's also shown his ability to make plays. I mean, we saw it in the game where he blocked the shot and then had the game-winning assist. So to me, he's going to be the guy to win Rookie of the Year. The Clippers, I've been high on them for so long. I had them the year before to win the title, and then, unfortunately, Kawhi Leonard got hurt. But you get Kawhi Leonard back. You got Paul George. You got Nick Batum. You got Marcus Morris. You got Terrence Mann. You have a factory of wings that allows you to go small and, you know, outshoot two teams from three. You can switch everything on a pick and roll on defense. And now you add John Wall. John Wall doesn't have to be the John Wall of old. He just has to dominate second units. He's just got to push the pace, get guys open shots. And I think this is a team which is very, very scary. And then, obviously, you guys know how I feel about Tyronn Lue. I think he's one of the best coaches in this league. We see it in the playoffs all the time. His ability to adjust. So I like the Clippers.
I would love John Wall to get a nice, healthy season, have some good success on there. I love John. I think people forget how good he was when he was here in D.C. because of the last couple of years. NFL Rostradamus, here are your three. Titans to miss the playoffs. Cowboys under 10.5 wins. Love that. Bears under 6.5 wins. Take it away.
Okay, when you look at the Tennessee Titans, I mean, this is a team where, I'm going to be honest with you, I think you're looking at a lame duck quarterback in Ryan Tannehill. I mean, like, I really do. I mean, you see they drafted Malik Willis, but I think the biggest thing that you're seeing is that they lost A.J. Brown. So that's really going to hurt their passing game. And you look at one of the big things when it comes to handicapping NFL is that teams who win one-score games, they tend to regress in those same one-score games the following year. So the Titans were 7-2 in one-score games in 2020, and then they came back and won 6 out of 8 close games last year. So, I mean, this is a team that they overperformed their Pythagorean expectation, and at some point that has to regress. And when you look at the fact that they got rid of A.J. Brown, and this is a team that continues to rely on Derrick Henry. We all love Derrick Henry, but this is a passing league. And when you're consistently running on first down and you're not calling plays optimally, I think it catches up with you at some point. So, I mean, you look at the offensive line. The offensive line is really, really struggling. I mean, Taylor Lewan is not the same guy. I mean, this team is known for defense with Vrabel being a defensive head coach, but I don't see them being a dominant defense. So I like the Titans to miss the playoffs, -110. I also like them under 9.5 wins.
Cowboys under 10.5. What's up with that one? That, by the way, in case listeners have forgotten, that is Raheem's team. Raheem is a Cowboys fan.
Okay, so I love the Dallas Cowboys. It's my favorite team in professional sports, but I think the big issue that you're going to see with this Cowboys team is that, look, they've gone from probably having one of the best receiving cores in the league with CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, Cedric Wilson, and obviously Amari Cooper leaves. Michael Gallup, he's still recovering from his torn ACL, so I don't know if the passing game is going to be as explosive. But the biggest thing, I mean, we mentioned how teams perform in one-score games, but you also have to look at how teams, their turnover luck, and that's another thing that tends to regress year to year. So, I mean, this Cowboys defense, they can really rush the passer, but they forced 34 turnovers last year. That was the most in the NFL. And they had the second most fumble recovery. So if that regresses a little bit, I think you're going to see a team that's just not as good. I mean, like, when you force that many turnovers, I mean, like, it's not really sustainable. And then, obviously, I mean, you look at the receiving core not being as good. I think the rest of the NFC East is a lot better. Like, I think with the Giants, they hired Brian DeBoer from Buffalo. I think they're going to be a much better team. I think the Eagles are on track to probably win the division. That's another one. I'm not necessarily putting that in, but I think the Eagles are the best team in that division right now. And then I think Washington, I mean, you get some guys back. They had a lot of injuries last year. I'm not that high on Carson Wentz, but Carson Wentz is better than the guys that they had out there last year. So I think you have a better division. And I think the Cowboys, I mean, look, this is a team that could really struggle to make the postseason when you look at all the regression that I expect from this team.
Last one. Oh, I'm sorry, Rod. Go ahead.
The last one. We're going to go with the, I think you said it, Bears under 6.5 wins. But this Chicago Bears roster might be the worst in the NFL. Like, I'm not saying that lightly. I mean, this is a team with a bad offensive line. I mean, and they're really giving Justin Fields nothing to work with. Obviously, you trade Allen Robinson, which is probably one of their best receivers. You have a bad offensive line. The defense, this was a team that was built on defense, but I mean, you trade Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks. There's not a lot to work with. I mean, defensively, they're just not there. Offensively, they're not there. I mean, I love David Montgomery at the running back position, but it's just not a lot of weapons around Fields. A bad offensive line, a defense that's just not really that good. So I think they're going to really struggle. I think this is probably going to be one of the worst teams in the league.
That's interesting. Would you consider playing the Bears for worst record in the league? I haven't looked at the numbers, but I'm guessing if they're over under 6.5, you could probably get a pretty good number on that.
Yeah, I think you can. I mean, I would love to see what that number is, because I just think, you know, they're going to be pretty bad. I think they're going to be the laughing stock of the NFC North. I mean, Green Bay, they lose their main receiver, but I still think they're going to be good. They still have a solid defense, still have Aaron Rodgers. I think Detroit last year, they were one of the teams who you should expect some positive regression. A lot of the math guys like Detroit because, I mean, they scored in one score games. They had a head coach who, I mean, they seem to play for those guys. They still have one of the best offensive lines in the league. And so I think Detroit's going to be a lot better. And then I think Minnesota, I mean, look, if they step into the 21st century since they fired their coach and, you know, stop running the ball as much, you know, pass with all the weapons that they have with Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen, I think they're a team who can really challenge for the division. So I think the Bears are going to get beat up pretty bad next year.
I had a few listener requests for this next one, Raheem. It is now time for Cash or Trash. You know the deal. I'll tell you a bet that I'm making. I'll tell you why I like it. You tell me if it is cash or trash. I actually have three bets I'm going to give you today, and I'm going to say up top, these are all very small money plays, and I made them kind of randomly without a ton of thought, so feel free to kill me on this one.
Sounds good.
Okay, first two are NFL. I did them like right at, we had Eric Eager from PFF on a couple weeks ago, and that really got me in an NFL mood, so I put these in then, and then the last one's NBA. Here we go, cash or trash number one. Juju Smith-Schuster to lead the league in receiving. I got this one at 75-1. My thinking here is, unless I'm missing something, he's likely to be the number two option through the air in KC this year. Of course, Travis Kelce is going to be targeted more, but Kelce will also attract a lot more of the defense's attention. So let's say Juju stays healthy. He'll have Pat Mahomes throwing to him instead of a washed, recently retired Big Ben. I think there's enough of a shot here to put a tiny taste on Juju to lead the league in receiving yards at 75-1. Ra, is it cash or trash?
I hate to say it, but I think this one is trash. I'm sorry. And I think the big reason why is because when you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, obviously you lose Tyreek Hill, but Mahomes tends to spread the ball around. And look, I mean, even without Tyreek Hill, you still got Kelce, you still got Hardman, you got guys on that roster, and I expect them to spread the ball around. But I think the big reason why I don't like this, I just don't think Juju is a true number one receiver. And I think we saw that after Antonio Brown left. I mean, look, I mean, the last couple of years, and I know it's Big Ben, but Big Ben tends to force the ball to one receiver. I mean, we've seen that. You look at his career, first year, 917 yards. Second year, 1,426 yards. After that, he hasn't cracked 831 yards. I mean, he's what? He's 552, 831, 129. I know he was banged up last year, but I don't think he's a true number one. And then when you look at the landscape of the NFL, Cooper Kupp's going to get force fed. Justin Jefferson, he tends to get force fed. Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb, guys like that. I mean, I just think you're looking at guys like Stephon Diggs putting up on 110, 115, 120 catches. And I don't know if Juju is that guy. So I don't like this one.
I also have a CeeDee Lamb ticket on this bet to lead the league in receiving yards. I got
If you had said that one, I would have liked that one a little bit better.
I know. I have some ones that are more likely to hit, but you know, you gotta bring the spicy ones for cash or trash, mm-hmm. right? Let's see if I have any more luck with you here. This is another one that's a little out there, Rot. Cash or trash number two. The running back who will lead the league in rushing yards this year is a backup. It is Tony Pollard, the backup running back on the Cowboys. I got this at 125-1. I know it sounds completely ridiculous, but here's the logic. Zeke looked a little Larry Holmes status to me last season. Okay, he didn't look good. Running backs break down all the time. I think Pollard's really, really good. Let's say Zeke goes down, which isn't crazy. The Cowboys led the league in total yards last year. They were top 10 in rush yards. Their receiving core, as we talked about, took a little bit of a hit, so maybe they have to rush a little bit more. Pollard averaged 5.5 yards per carry last season. He looked really, really good when he got opportunities. So at 125-1, I said, why not? Let's let it ride. Put a little money on it. So Raheem, Pollard, backup running back Pollard to lead the league in rushing, 125-1. Is it cash or trash?
This is trash.
Okay, why?
I'm sorry. And I mean, you're my guy, so I don't want to trash all your picks here because they're long shots. I mean, like, I'm going to be honest with you. My former colleague at the Action Network, he would love all of these. Brandon Anderson, he's a big long shot player.
We had Brandon on a couple weeks ago at your recommendation. He was excellent.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem with this one is that you're basically betting on an Ezekiel Elliott injury. But even if you're betting on that, I still see him being in a timeshare as far as carries. I think he doesn't have the volume. He's not going to have the volume you need to win this award. So when you look at the last couple of winners of this award, you got Jonathan Taylor, you got Derrick Henry 2X, you got Ezekiel Elliott, you had Kareem Hunt, you got Ezekiel Elliott, you got Adrian Peterson, you got DeMarco Murray, you got bigger backs who just are volume ball carries. And Tony Pollard, to me, he's a weapon. Like, I mean, he's 6 foot, 209 pounds. You know what I mean? Like, he's not a guy who's built to be taking 300 carries a season. And obviously you got Derrick Henry back. He's going to be getting close to 300 carries. I think when you look at Jonathan Taylor, I think he's the favorite right now. And when you look at Jonathan Taylor, he's going to be facing probably the easiest schedules of run defenses in the league. Whereas like last year, I think he faced one of the hardest schedules. So they're going to run the ball heavy with Jonathan Taylor, and he's going to get a lot of those carries. So I just think there's too many guys in front of him who can actually win this award. And I just don't think he's going to have the value. So I'm sorry about that.
It's all good. It's all good. Last one. I have a feeling you're not going to like this one either, but we'll see. Here it is. Back to basketball. I've got the Mavericks, the Dallas Mavericks, winning it all at 22-1. This bet was made immediately after I saw those pictures of Luka that appear to show him in shape, appear to show him working hard this offseason. We know that's been an issue for Luka in the past. Basically, I just think this guy's incredible. If he's actually in shape, I want a little money on Luka. I think he has the potential alone to put this team in championship contention. That was really all of my reasoning, because I don't even love their offseason moves, but I do love Luka. So I have the Mavericks 22-1 to win the NBA championship next season. Is that one, Raheem, cash or trash?
I'm sorry once again, but this one is trash. Yeah, you're 0 for 3. And I think the big reason why is because this is not a team with a ton of playmaking outside of Luka. I think losing Jalen Brunson is a huge loss for this team. I mean, we saw in the postseason, Jalen Brunson had a dominant postseason, and he was their guy. Like, he was their second playmaker on the team. And I think having more than one playmaker is key. And when I look at Luka, and I love Luka to death, but I think he's going to have to change his play style in order for him to really get over the hump. To me, when I look at Luka, he's very similar to Luka, and this Mavericks team is very similar to the James Harden era Rockets. And you saw that they were a dominant regular season team. But what happens is when you face a team like the Warriors, you can't just rely on one playmaker and just a bunch of guys shooting the ball. You got to have other ways of attacking a defense and making it difficult on them. And I think that's an issue. And I mean, I love the addition of Christian Wood. I think they're going to be a great regular season team. But I think when you have to go up against a team like the Nuggets, or you have to go up against a team like the Clippers or the Warriors, I just don't know if they have enough. But I mean, I expect this number. I don't know if that number is going to be as high as 25-1. If the Mavericks have a good season and Luka goes out there and, you know, has an MVP type year. So maybe you get some good cash out value. So this isn't the worst one. This is okay. I mean, I don't like it, but it's not that bad.
I'll take it over 3. But I tell you what, I always tell people when you do this segment, I say, feel free to crush me, and they never do. I appreciate your honesty. I like that you crushed me. And like I said, I know you well enough. I had a feeling that was coming. Before I let you go, two really random ones. First up, Jake Paul takes on Haseem Rahman Jr. It's August 6th. At Madison Square Garden, last I checked, Paul is favored at -225 against the much larger Rahman at +175. What do you think?
At this point, I can't count out Jake Paul. I really can't. I mean, he seems like he's honestly legitimate, at least in terms of, you know, being able to beat fighters. So it's just, I don't know. I haven't seen much of Haseem Rahman Jr. So I'm excited to see it, but I won't have any wagers on it.
I'm going to keep betting on the Paul brothers, with the exception of the one that fought Floyd a little while ago, until they lose. I'm not saying that these fights are rigged, but I am saying that I find it very hard to believe that these guys are bringing in so much cash that unless they're going up against a guy like Floyd, I just don't see him losing. And maybe that's because they're picking the opponents carefully or whatever the case may be. Obviously, though, -225 is a little steep, so maybe I'll try to parlay it with something else on the card or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that is steep, but I mean, he's knocking guys out. He has some pop, so we'll see what happens.
Do you know anything about Rahman Jr.? You know, Parrish, producer Parrish, is a big boxing guy, and he said he really didn't know much about Rahman at all. Of course, he knows his father.
Like, I mean, it's so funny. When I first saw the headline, I'm like, Haseem Rahman is fighting, and then I saw the junior, and it threw me off. I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't know, so.
Okay. All right, last thing, really random on this one. I sent you a tweet from our guy Dave Purdom over at ESPN. Apparently, DraftKings put out numbers for the 2024 presidential election. I don't want to get too political here, so I'm not looking to talk about who you and I personally like or who we think would be good for the country, but I do think it's interesting. You cannot bet this legally with U.S. sports books. However, DraftKings is offering this. These were the odds for DraftKings Ontario, I believe. Anyway, they have, just so the listeners know, Trump as the favorite, +250. DeSantis, number 2 at +300. Biden's number 3 at +550. What do you make of this? I mean, do you think DraftKings has good info this far out from the election? Do you think that they just put up numbers and you know, have pretty low limits, so they're not like, how, what do we make of this, of books even offering this type of wager?
I mean, we're in 2022. The election's not until 2024. So, I mean, when you're taking these wagers, books are basically getting an interest-free loan, and they're holding your money. I mean, it's almost like They get to hold your money for 2 years for a result, and we don't even know who's running. We don't know if Trump's going to be alive. We don't know if Biden's going to be alive. We don't know these things. And I mean, obviously, I do think Trump is going to run again. And when you look at our country right now, he does have the backing of people. I mean, like, and not to get too political, but I mean, you look at what happened on January 6th. I mean, a lot of that was Donald Trump, and that shows the movement that he has. So I do think Trump is the rightful favorite. I'm not mad at the plus 250 being there. I do think it's priced properly, because I do think he has a good shot to win again. I mean, we see the movement that he's put up. So I don't necessarily know if the political markets are very efficient, though. And I think that's the one thing that you got to understand. I mean, we saw on the last election, you could literally bet on Joe Biden after it was clear that he was already going to win. You can get a good number. So,
first of all, I love that you almost just called Joe Biden Joe Budden. Second of all, that's such a Raheem thing to do. Second of all, that's a really interesting point you made, and a good explanation as to why books may put these numbers up, the interest-free loan thing, because they get to hold your money for 2+ years. That makes sense. That was really good info there. Otherwise, we'll see what happens. And again, you can't, to the best of my knowledge, legally bet election.
Yeah, these numbers were from these were from DraftKings Ontario.
Yeah, DraftKings Ontario, right? Via Dave Purnum. By the way, I did write down a couple of these. There are some pretty funny ones on there. Other notables to be elected president in 2024, the last two VPs, Harris is 12-1, Pence 14-1, Michelle Obama 35-1, The Rock 40-1, Kanye 100-1. Also, something that I thought was interesting, there are some like politicians who would seem to have at least some chance. For instance, Larry Hogan, the governor of Maryland, who a lot of people think is going to run, is 100-1. So he's actually got way worse odds, way longer odds than The Rock at 40-1.
Wow.
I don't know what to make of it, but it's interesting. I mean,
that is really interesting. I mean, they're still in money with some of these. I mean, Kanye West is not going to be president. Neither is The Rock. So, I mean, you catch somebody, you catch somebody drunk at the computer or at the app, and you just, you know, somebody puts down $100 and you got some free money. So I don't know
why in the world The Rock would run, but I tell you, if he did, I bet he'd do okay. That's a man with a very high approval rating. I guess getting into politics might change that. But anyway, good stuff as always, Ra. I love having you on, man. Plug away. What do you have coming down the pike?
We got the Ringer Gambling Podcast. We're going to have something dropping this weekend. We're going to do a couple fights. And then, I mean, next week, we're going to be jumping straight into NFL. We're going to be doing division previews. So look out for that. I mean, but as always, I mean, like right now I'm at the Ringer. So we got the Ringer Gambling Podcast. Check that out on Spotify or any of your podcast apps. I mean, we're going to be talking NFL, NBA boxing, as we always do. And I mean, you can check me out on Twitter. I am Rostradamus. Instagram, I am Rostradamus as well.
Raheem Palmer, Ringer superstar, Spotify, RNG, first ballot Hall of Famer. Tell our guy House I share his Wizards pain. You're the man. Take it easy, man.
All right, you have a good one. Thanks.
There it is, ladies and gents. Thanks to Raheem. Also, thanks again to Rick Gaiman, who was great talking golf on the first part of the pod that was released earlier this week. The plan is to be back next Wednesday, as usual. That's the plan. You never know in my line of work, but we normally get our day. So plan on Wednesday. And as always, thanks for rating, subscribing, reviewing. IG at Rambling and Gambling. Email ramblingandgamblingpodcast@gmail.com. Everybody, have a great week.